So it's July 4th week. And if you haven't already had enough emphasis over the last several weeks on what's going on in the government, you know, it's kind of, we're at a crescendo here. You know, there's all kind of stuff going on. And the reality is, we're in it. We can't get away from it. Like it or not. Good, bad, ugly, it's where we are. It's what we deal with. It's a part of our existence and our life and our reality. And sometimes we come to this kind of thing and we act like nobody's ever been here before. Which is really kind of silly. Because the truth is, a lot of people have been here before. A lot of people today, in other places, have to deal with much worse or much better, depending on how you look at it. You know, somewhere, if you really look at it, on God's list of priorities for us, government might be a distant fourth in terms of allegiance. Truthfully, okay? We got God. Right? We got family, people of God. Yeah, I'm going to put them together. I have a hard time separating the two. Then you might have an allegiance to government, or you might have an allegiance to a lot of other things. But it's kind of in there about that level. And the problem is sometimes when either with our awareness or with our negligence, we let that priority get warped out. And believe me, when you're looking at the news, you can get pretty warped out about what's going on in the government, one way or the other, whichever way you like or whichever way you don't like. And somehow, those allegiances, in terms of the way that the world tries to paint what that allegiance should be, gets very distorted. But what I want to bring to you today, real simple, as we start a week where we are celebrating the fact that we have been handed this amazing place, an amazing government that we literally didn't have much to do with creating. The sad thing is right now, we have a choice. We can either make it better or we can make it worse. We have a choice. We've got to be responsible for our part to make it better as best we can. One of the lessons that Israel had to learn was that it's not so good to want a king. You see, there was a time in history where God dealt directly with those people that He called to Himself. And He liked the fact that they had to trust Him. And He wanted them to trust Him. And the problem was, Israel looked around and said, they got a king, they got a king, and they got a king. We want a king. Guess what? God gave him a king. Guess what? Didn't go so well. In fact, it got so bad, there was such chaos and disarray that eventually the kingdom, even that started well, eventually fractured apart. It was sieged against. It was torn apart because the people lost sight of the God that they needed to trust. And in judgment, God allowed other people who had another God or other gods or no God at all come in and destroy them and separate them and take them off into captivity. That's what happens when God is left out and government takes over. What I have to share with you today is just a reminder. It's something you already know. And that is, there is a God that is greater than government. And He is the one that we need to be serving. So that's where I'm starting today. That's what I want to remind you about today. And what I want to do for a few minutes is to remind you that our God has a claim on our lives, and it's greater than any government claim on our lives. God supplies, God blesses, God saves, God established governments to approve what is right. And that's what governments are for. However, the only authority that any government has is the authority that God gives to that government. It's always delegated. It's always derived. Not every government is of God, even if God allows it. And there are a lot of governments that you can't say you can see God in. But God still allows governments, just like He allowed those people to come in and take over Israel. They weren't godly governments. They weren't godly people. But He allows it for the people of God to return their attention to the God that they belong to. Here's the truth. And so I want to look at a few things today just to remind us once again what our relationship is as people who follow God and give God our greatest allegiance, what our relationship is with the governments that God does allow to rule over us. So let's look at a couple of passages. First passage, Peter in his letter, his epistle. This is what he said about God and government. Now I have to tell you, every time I look at this passage, I think of a black and white movie that I saw with, I think it's Gary Cooper, Sergeant York, as he sat in an Appalachian mountain trying to decide whether he was going to go through the draft, as the law told him he had to, or whether he was going to be a conscientious objector. And he wrestled. He wrestled during World War I. Came across this passage. It said, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king." And you know why he said king? It's because kings were about all they had back in those days. There were no bicameral legislatures. There were no presidents. That wasn't a part of their reality. What we see here in this passage is a couple of simple things. First, we're supposed to submit to government that acknowledges and advances what is good for the Lord's sake. There's nothing in that passage that says that we are supposed to be happy and joyful with a government that does not approve what is good. Now, we may have to deal with it and live under it, but we don't have to agree with it. But we submit to the fact that God did allow this government to exist. I mean, let me pull a history lesson out here. I don't think Daniel and his three buddies, whenever they got carted off to another country after being overtaken, were all that happy with the fact that they had changed their zip code. But Daniel found a way to honor God in a system that was not a godly system over and over and over again. What did God do through him? Pretty amazing things, right? You look at Daniel's life. So I want to remember that. Submit to government that acknowledges and advances what is good for the Lord's sake. That's what government's supposed to be about, and that's why we should submit to the government. Secondly, when we do that, it upholds our integrity as believers and as God's people. See, that's very important. Because the way you and I live, the way you and I relate to even our government, the way we talk about it, it either upholds our integrity as believers, or we then begin to cast aspersions on God's name because people hear us just being negative all the time. You understand what I'm saying? To sit around and complain is not productive. If we need to change something, do what it takes to change it if that's what God's telling you to do. Don't sit there and be a grump-grump, because grump-grumps don't solve anything. Plus, God's name. If we're grump-grumps, God's name is not honored. Because people follow people who act and do what's right. No one follows a grump-grump. Third, live righteously. Is that enough of a challenge for us? What does that mean? To live righteously. Well, if you do the right things, you don't have to worry about doing the wrong things. Now, you and I are all under grace if we know Jesus Christ. And we've been forgiven. And if our desire is to serve Him and follow Him and make Him happy, we're going to be just fine. We have way too much time trying to let Jesus live through us. We won't have time to worry about all the other stuff. The things that hurt people, or that demean other people, or that take other people's stuff, or whatever it is. If we live righteously, we're going to be just fine. That's what we're supposed to do in relationship to our government. We are supposed to live righteously. Not give our government any reason to cast aspersions on our integrity, which is important because we represent Jesus. Now here's what I told 9:30 a couple weeks ago. Those of you who are around, please hang in there with me. The rest of you, Rick's going to get radical. Okay? You and I live in a time where you have an opportunity. I don't like the fact that the government's listening to my stuff and my mail, and I don't like that, okay? I don't care. Sorry, I don't like it. But you know what? I better live my life in such a way that whatever they find doesn't matter. I got to live a righteous life. Guess what? Maybe I just need to wake up and realize they are watching all the time. They are listening all the time, so that maybe I realize that God knows my stuff more than they do, and that my life will change. Does that make sense to you? It's a good object lesson. If I'm worried about the fact that the government's checking my emails, listening to my phone calls, I should be a lot more worried about the fact that the Lord of the universe knows all that stuff, because He's greater than government. My life should be getting right because God knows it, not because the government knows it. And whatever the government can find out on me, I don't care. Because sometimes I screwed up. I did, and I had to get right with God, and I had to confess that and deal with it. And guess what? Every one of us, somebody can pull something out of your past from 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, and they can hold it up in front of you. And when they do, we better be able to say, that's right, and I'm changed. And here's the proof. Here's my life. I confessed. I repented. It's different. That's how, if we're going to follow Jesus in the life, in the place that we're living in now, that's how we have to be prepared to live. We can't live this secret lifestyle anymore, because there are no more secrets. And in fact, the reality is that was all an illusion anyway. There were never any secrets. Live righteously. Last button up there. Do not live as if under compulsion. So what you do because you serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you love Him. Not because you're afraid that the government's going to come get you when they don't like what you said. because they may not like what I said, but I better be sure that what they didn't like that I said honored God, so that whenever somebody decides they don't like what I said, I'm not really going to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? If they cart me off, I don't care, because I have been the person that I'm supposed to be. You've been the person you're supposed to be. Don't follow the law because somebody's making you follow the law. Follow the law because you follow God, who told you that when the law approves what is good, that you do it. Does that make sense? First passage. Second passage, Titus, verse 1 through 8 of chapter 3. Here, Paul said, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is," thank you, "to slander no one, to be peaceable, and even when you're driving, and to show true humility toward." We need little humility up in Washington, don't you think? Okay, sorry, but on both sides we got some arrogant buffoons. Okay, they're full of themselves. Okay, we need to realize that, yes, at this point we still get to elect them. And while we're talking about our relationship with government, and we do live under a government where we do get to pick our elected leaders, if we pick a scoundrel, then we're going to get a scoundrel. It's up to us. But we still have to show humility towards all men. Because nothing's worse than reacting to somebody who's not humble, who's a scoundrel, and we react in a way that does not honor Jesus Christ. Because then we have no credibility, and our Lord has no credibility. At one time, we too, back probably just yesterday, was foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That's supposed to be in the past, by the way. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. What do we see here? First point. Guess what, folks? You were once morally and spiritually bankrupt like everybody else. I'm in that boat. I are one, have been one. There's never been a time when I have been gooder than anybody else. No matter how bad anybody else is. You see, we start to think about this thing on a scale. Well, I'm not as bad as them because I don't. But guess what? There's somebody else two rows over me going, "I'm not as bad as Rick because I don't." We're all in the same boat. We're all once morally and spiritually bankrupt, just like everybody else. So if you remember that, you understand the role of government a little bit better, and you understand why we need somebody greater than government to work in our lives. Because your government can't make you a better person. Sorry. Forgive me. Okay. I might need to lose 30 pounds. Probably do. I could use 30 pounds. I could lose them. I need to lose 30 pounds. But if the government made me do things to make me change my life to lose 30 pounds, I'm not going to be any better of a person. Because what the government can make me do doesn't make me a better person. But my God can make me a better person. He can give me a life that is not bound in this world, but begins here and extends through it. I become a better person because I am now a buddy of mine in Texas put it this way. I'm a spirit critter in an earth suit. Good old Texas drawl. Second thing, demonstrate changed lives, which is what I was just talking about, among which is a life of submission to our government. We have a changed life. We need to live in relationship to the authorities that God has placed over us. When they approve what is good, we need to make sure that we are doing what is good. Not because government said so, but because God said so. Because it honors Him. It reflects the family resemblance. So that's why we do it. All right. For a couple of minutes, I want to launch out sort of in a different direction. We've talked about the relationship of us collectively and individually, between us and God and us and government. What I want to show you for just a minute is how deeply embedded in our government, in its founding, the concepts of the Scripture really is. Three foundational things that from the very beginning of who we are were acknowledged and held up as values. So I'm going a little bit in a little different direction, but I think it's appropriate. So let's look at a passage that we've quoted a lot around here. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The operative word here is life. Life. Now you know the context for that was Jesus was talking in John 10 about the fact that he was a shepherd, a good shepherd, and that there was a sheep fold, and the fold is where the sheep hung out at night. And sometimes it was kind of a little low fence pen kind of thing that was made out of stone. And there was an entryway or a gate, and he was saying that he was the gate to the sheepfold. He was the good shepherd. It meant he put his body across that gap where the sheep could go in and go out. And the only people who wouldn't go through the gap by the shepherd, the gate, was somebody who was a thief. Somebody who wanted to come in and steal a sheep or hurt the sheep. Because anybody else would go in through the opening across the gate, through the shepherd. He said, he is here to protect us and provide for us and care for us. Anybody else is trying to come over the wall and do something wrong. So he's come that you and I, as the sheep, might have life. That we wouldn't have to feel threatened. That we would not have to be concerned. Because he's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us. He's going to be with us. Life. First passage. Remember that. Second passage. This is from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Verse 1, chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And because that's true, he said, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Now the context for his discussion was the religious folk who were trying to tell people they had to do religious things in order to be accepted by God. And here Paul's saying, no, you don't have to step through a religious hoop. You don't have to show up. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have... All those religious things don't matter. All that matters is that you trust Jesus. You have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that, you have freedom. Freedom. And that's why He died on the cross. So you could be free from sin. I could be free from sin. So we wouldn't have to be bound by religious tradition. So we could be free to follow Him, know Him, and love Him. Free. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Second concept. Third concept. Back to John, this time chapter 15. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Operative word here, joy. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. Even though we really technically weren't very much friends when he found us. Okay. So we look at these three, and I hope that you see something a little bit familiar. Because it popped out to me pretty clearly. Anybody ever paid attention to the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence? The one that we quote all the time. The one that says we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, freedom, and the right to pursue joy, to be joyful, to live joyfully, to be fulfilled, to be full. Now you can't sit there and look at that and say that there was not intentionality there that did not rely upon a scriptural foundation. What our founding fathers were acknowledging is that government is not God, and that God alone is the one who establishes a government, and that people that God created should serve God above everything else. But that part of serving God was acknowledging that God has ordained government to do right. Now I'm going to tell you, the thing that we kind of all have to struggle with is what took place a little bit later in this quote up here. A little bit later in the Declaration of Independence. That to secure these rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's you and me. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So how do you and me, if we're going to say that government is bigger than God, there's no way you can see an appropriate relationship between God and government. If God is great and He is greater than government, then the government changes, right? God doesn't change. The government changes. And the people who belong to God are the ones who are called to do what is right and just and good. To be the ones who make the changes that are right and just and good. And our founding fathers, whether we like it or not, found it necessary to stand up to a king. None of us should have to go stand up to our House of Representatives guys or senators or vice president or president or any of that. But we need to be exercising our voice. We need to be understanding the issues at hand. We need to be submitting ourselves to God so that we can do the right thing in the midst of a very confusing time that we live in. A teacher of mine, I may have quoted this to you before too. I tend to like to repeat quotes that I think are good. Here's one that I found to be very true. Don't believe anything that you hear and only half of what you see. I just about don't believe anything I hear coming out of any politician anymore. because everything is nuanced. Everything is nuanced. There's always an out. There's always a way to say, oh, no. I said this. This word didn't mean that. It meant this. We need a lot more tailors and bakers and healthcare professionals who will listen to God and go boot the lawyers out of Washington. Forgive me, that's my opinion. That's me. That's not God. Yeah, that's Rick. Okay? Because it's government by the people, for the people, of the people. People. And there's not another class. There's not politicians and us. Because we serve God. And we need to do what is right and good and just. Is this making sense? Our God is greater than government. And our call is greater than any call the government can put on us. And we're living in times where it matters. So as we celebrate this week, as we enjoy picnics, as we watch fireworks, as we listen to patriotic music, and we're thankful for what has been handed us, let's ask God what He's handed us. Is He handing us a rod? It's like God said, what you got in your hands, Moses? All Moses had was a stick. What's God giving to you? What's He telling you to do with it? Does that make sense? Because it doesn't have to be an F-15 or whatever jet. And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It just has to be your heart. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that we would place You above anything else that claims to be that which can save us. You have sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And there is nothing else that can change our hearts. There is nothing else that can rescue us, that can make a difference in our lives, that can change us, and give us an eternal life that begins now and extends forever. And Lord, we need to be kingdom people. People of God's kingdom that exists here and now, who live like it, so that, Lord, the world will be different. Lord, I am so thankful for this country You've placed me in at this time. And Lord, I have to look at it and say, You've put us here for a purpose now. Let us listen to You and let You move our hearts so that we will know what You are calling us to do as we approve what is right and good and just. Give us courage that we will act on what You tell us. This morning, I don't know how God's moving you. In fact, the reality is, as we have met here today, there's a possibility that you didn't hear a word that I said. But instead, you and God have been having a conversation that's been going on in your heart. This is a time for you to come before God and respond to Him, whatever it is that He's telling you. So we leave the altar open up front so you can come and pray. If you need to pray by yourself, you can. If you need to pray with somebody else, you can. We're going to have life group leaders standing around the walls. If you want somebody to pray with, I'll be up here too. It's a time to come before God and let Him speak and to settle accounts and determine a path for life, to meet needs. So I encourage you to come and respond if that's what God leads you to do. We'll be here for you to pray. this time, if you want to bring your cards or if you have an offering, there's a basket in back. There's baskets up here. You can do it now.
Calling all angels, calling the watchmen, angels on the wall, to come and sing with us. Calling all angels, calling the watchmen, angels on the wall, to come and sing with us.
Let's all stand and sing Gary.
Angels on the wall to come and sing with us. Calling all angels, calling the watchmen, angels on the wall to come and sing with us. Singing hallelujah.
Let's bow. Father, we thank you. Lord, I ask this week that we would have great joy, that, Lord, we would experience life in its fullest because you are in us, and that, Lord, we would live as free people who love and serve you with all of our hearts with great, great joy. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.